In the book of Genesis this morning, chapter 39, it says, now Joseph had been taken down in Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he's entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught Joseph by the cloak and said, come to bed with me. But Joseph left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that Joseph had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has brought to us to make spoil of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, Joseph left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, Joseph left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. He was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Would you stand with me as we pray together this morning? Father God, as we pause on this Sunday morning, first of all, we just pause to praise you, to exalt your name, to lift you on high. Father, as we realize that we live in a world today that we can identify with all of the many things that are going on in the world, in people's lives, and as we look at this passage here in the book of Genesis that you have penned for us through the Holy Spirit, God, we realize that there are lessons that are applicable to each one of us here this morning. I pray your blessings upon this message. I pray, Holy Spirit of the living God, that you would fall fresh and anew in each one of our hearts and lives. And I pray that we can glean from this passage this morning something that we can take and apply in our everyday lives. Speak to our hearts today, I pray, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you for being here this morning. But the Lord was with Joseph. Over and over, we are told that in this 39th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, I'm sure that you remember this story very well. Joseph certainly knew what it was like to have problems in life. He knew what it was like to have struggles. He also knew what it was like to have victory over the worst of circumstances. Betrayed by his own brothers, he is then later exalted by God to this great position of honor and power down in Egypt. Joseph was the 11th son of his father Jacob. And the Bible says in Genesis 37:3, Israel, that is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And because of Joseph's father's favoritism to Joseph, the other siblings were jealous of him. In fact, in Genesis 37:4, it says they hated Joseph. In chapter 37, verse 11, it says that his brothers, Joseph's brothers, were jealous of Joseph. And finally, in Genesis 37:18, we're told that Joseph's brothers, they plotted to kill Joseph. Now, they didn't kill him because they saw a band of Ishmaelites coming down the road, and so they decided instead of killing their brother, they would sell him off to these Ishmaelites. And here in our text for this morning in the book of Genesis chapter 39, Joseph is brought down to Egypt. He is sold by the Ishmaelites now to this man named Potiphar, who was captain of the guard to the Pharaoh of Egypt. And eventually Joseph is given charge of Potiphar's own house because God was with Joseph. And Potiphar saw that. In fact, in our text for this morning in verse 4, Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to Joseph's care everything he owned. Now, one day, while Potiphar's away, Joseph is tempted by Potiphar's wife. And because Joseph refused her, she's embarrassed, she's humiliated, she's spurned, she's rejected. And so what she does is she will concoct a false story by saying that Joseph had enticed her and Joseph had taken advantage of her. And because of that, that false accusation, that false story, Joseph is taken, he's placed into prison by this one named Potiphar, who had given him charge of his entire house. And so Joseph's master takes him, puts him in prison, and that's the place where the king's prisoners are being confined for various things they had done. Now, this brings me to the most important part of the message. I want you to notice the phrase in chapter 39 of Genesis, verse 31, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Might that be said of you this morning? Might that be said of me? No matter what our problem is, no matter what situation you're dealing with in your life this morning, temptation or affliction, whatever it may be, we can take comfort in the fact that God is with us. God has not forsaken us. God has not forgotten us. God has not failed us. But God is there in the midst of it. Joseph knew that, and you and I can know that as well. Keep in mind, throughout this ordeal that happened to Joseph and throughout all of his time of trouble and affliction, in all of the time that he's in prison, we never once hear Joseph complaining. He never accuses God of being unfair. And even though he did not and probably could not understand all that he's going through at the time, he knew something that you and I need to be reminded of every day, and that is that God is with us in whatever we're experiencing in our lives. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8, we find these words, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. There are three takeaways this morning that I want to give you. First of all, notice Joseph's unwillingness to compromise. Joseph's unwillingness to compromise there in verse 7. Now, it says, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. Now, you and I live in a world where temptation is something that is common to every one of us here this morning in one way or another. Satan will always make sure that he presents you and me with things that can derail our Christian faith. Living the Christian life, I believe all of us could say this morning, is not an easy task. And that's because the world appeals to our sinful nature. In fact, Paul wrote to the Roman church in Romans chapter 7 in verse 18, Paul said to these Roman Christians, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Now, let me also say that temptation does not always present itself in the form of outward observable sin. As was the case here with Joseph, there are sins of the mind, there are sins of the heart, there are things that can lead us down the wrong path of life. For example, to choose our own will against the will of God's would be a sin. You see, anything Satan can do to cause you and me to turn away from God's plan is what Satan will choose to do, he and his demons. Neil Anderson made this statement. He said, the essence of temptation is the invitation to live independently of God. The essence of temptation is the invitation to live independently of God. How do you and I overcome the temptations that we are confronted with, young people? How do you overcome the temptations that come your way? How do we have victory in the presence of whatever is enticing us in our life? You see, not only was this temptation presented by Potiphar's wife to Joseph, but notice that her proposition is rejected. Verse 8 in our text says, but he, speaking of Joseph, refused. In other words, he refused her enticement. The first way you and I can overcome temptation is simply by saying no. The Bible says, once again in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, it says, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Notice that, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. You see, the second way, not only of saying no to the temptation when it comes our way, but the second way of overcoming temptation is by looking at God's Word, comparing our choices with what the Bible has to say. Benjamin Jowett was a 19th century English educator. He was a Greek scholar, and he made this observation. He said, when a man listens to the voice of the tempter within him, he's inclined to do as others do. Not to resist when temptation seems great, but when he looks into the laws of God and hears the words of Christ, his natural sense of right and wrong is restored to him, and he becomes elevated, purified, and sanctified. Now, Joseph is able to overcome temptation with the knowledge that God was with him. There in prison, as verse 21 states, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3 says, when his master saw that the Lord was with him, notice the master put Joseph in charge of everything. Verse 23 says, because the Lord was with Joseph. Now, mine and your greatest help whenever we're facing temptations out there in life, whatever form it may take, it's the indwelling presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit in our lives. When Paul was writing to the church of Galatia, in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." There was an old Baptist preacher back in the 1800s by the name of Octavius Winslow, and he said, "Not a step can the believer advance without the Holy Spirit." He said, "Not a victory can he achieve without the Holy Spirit." He said, "Not a moment can he exist without the Holy Spirit." As he needed him at the first, so he needs him all his journey through, and so he will have him until the soul passes over Jordan. Let me tell you this morning, as in Joseph's life, you and I have a takeaway. We have something that we can make applicable this week in our lives, and that's number one, Joseph's unwillingness to compromise with the sins of his day, with the enticements of his day, with all of the various things that were out there in his culture. Young people, you're living in a time where you have many, many challenges. I mean, never has there been generations like yours that are experiencing so many things that are at the disposal of your fingertip through the internet and through all of the various things that are coming your way through mass media and technology. And you are challenged with all kinds of temptations that are coming your way. Let me assure you this morning, if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus is with you during these times, and you can say no to the temptation. You can look at God's Word and know that whatever that is that goes against biblical teachings is a sin, and God wants you to strive to stay away from those things. Joseph was not willing to compromise with the territory around him. Joseph was not willing to cave in to the pressures of society and the mores of the culture of the day. Joseph was not willing to say that he would cave in to something that was contrary to what God's Word teaches. And today, as probably perhaps more than any other time in all of world history, American history, are you and I challenged with all of the things that are out there, with all of the woke culture and all of these situations and the transgender issues that are going on, the same-sex marriages, abortions, all of these things? Young people, I want you to know, God's Word stands forever. In fact, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away." But Jesus said, "My words will never pass away." In fact, the Bible says His Word is established in heaven. And let me tell you, regardless of what culture says, regardless of what is voted in, I want you to know, if it's contrary to this book, I can assure you today, Jesus said it, He settled it, He meant it, and He's not changing His opinion based upon the vote and based upon the cultural situation of our day. Let me tell you, if Jesus said it, it settles it, and that's the way it is. And for 2,000 years, let me tell you, we have looked at the Word of God, trusted the Word of God, believed the Word of God. And let me tell you, in the world that you and I are living in today, they're doing everything they can to discredit the Bible, to discount the Bible. But young people, I want to assure you of this. I believe you can take God's Word. I believe you can stand on the truths of it. And I believe that if you do that, that God will walk with you through whatever that you're experiencing in your lives. Trust me, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. I even believe the maps and the concordance in it. That's how much I believe the Bible. Well, there's a second takeaway this morning. Number one, that we are not willing to compromise. But secondly, I want you to know Joseph was treated unfairly. I mean, whenever you look at his life, he's thrown into prison. He hadn't done anything for that. Verse 20 said, Joseph's master, that was Potiphar, took Joseph and put Joseph in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. Now, for the king's prisoners, they had violated something that the king didn't like. Now, prisons back then are not like they are today. In fact, let me tell you, back then, there weren't any landlines. There's still a few of us that have a landline. But let me tell you, there weren't any smart televisions back then. There weren't any basketball courts. There wasn't any exercise equipment. There were no computers. There was no internet. There was no cell phone. There were no Facebooks. There was no Instagram. There was none of those kinds of things. And let me tell you, Joseph was placed in a very dark, dismal place. It wasn't a place that any of us would want to spend time at. He didn't deserve the punishment that he was going through. He had done absolutely nothing. He was falsely accused. Now, things couldn't have been more unfair for him. But the Bible said God was with him. And Joseph was shown favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. You know why? Because God was with him. I'm sure that all of us could say at one time or the other that we've been treated unfairly. Think about Joseph. Think about Daniel in the Bible in the lion's den. Think about Paul and Silas in chains in a prison. But there was something that was common with all of them. Let me tell you, like Daniel and like Joseph, like Paul and Silas, they were a confident of the fact that the presence of Almighty God was with them. Let me tell you, because God is with us, it matters not how we've been treated. We can still have a song. We can still rejoice, even in the midst of our troubles, because God loves us and God is with us. Maybe this morning, maybe you feel that you've been treated unfairly. Maybe even today, you're bearing the brunt of something that was not your fault. Let me tell you, keep on believing, keep on trusting, keep on having faith in Almighty God. He will vindicate you. When Joseph is thrown into prison, he's there with two other prisoners. Now, one of them was the king's butler, and one of them was the king's baker. Now, the king's butler was the cupbearer. He always tasted the king's wine to make sure it wasn't poisoned. Both of these guys had done something that displeased the king. They're in prison. While they're there, both of them dream a dream. And Joseph has been given the ability by Almighty God to interpret this dream. In fact, in verse 14 says, "But when all goes well with you," chapter 40, "remember me." Joseph said this down in prison to the butler and to the baker, "But when all goes well with you," Joseph said, "remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison." But young people, guess what? They didn't do that. They didn't remember him. In fact, verse 23 of chapter 40 says, "The cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him." You say, "Well, what happened to the baker?" Well, let me tell you, the baker, when Joseph interpreted his dream, Joseph let him know that he was going to lose his head. He was going to be beheaded by the king. The cupbearer was restored back to his position. How many times do people forget the things we've done for them? Have you ever been good to people? You've done things for people. But let me tell you, when the going got good, they didn't remember you anymore. Has that ever happened to you? I can assure you out there in the world, that's a huge problem. You see, we give, we encourage, we help when help is needed. But when it comes to us, people seem to forget. It doesn't seem quite fair, does it? But let me tell you, sometimes we don't often get the gratitude that we would like to have. Paul was writing once again to the Colossians in chapter 3, 23, and he said in that, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart." Why? "As working for the Lord, not for human masters. Let me tell you, do what you do because of Jesus. Don't do what you do expecting something to come back your way. You see, if we serve others with the same mind that we serve Christ, we'll never be disappointed because our eyes will be focused on the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, aren't you grateful this morning Jesus didn't forget you and me when he went to the cross? Aren't you grateful for that? Look in Hebrews 2, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while." That means young people who came out of heaven died on the cross. "Now crowned with glory and honor." Why? "Because he suffered death so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Let me tell you, Jesus doesn't forget us in our suffering. Jesus doesn't forget us in our sorrow. Jesus doesn't forget us in our need. Let me tell you, if you know Jesus, you will always have a friend. There's a friend, Proverbs 18:2 says, that sticks closer than a brother. Let me tell you, unfair treatment. I don't know if you saw in the news this week, they played it over and over and over. A teacher's aide was attacked in one of the schools back east by one of the students. And you know why she was attacked? They've showed that repeatedly over and over and over. And this kid, he was a big kid. And he, because she had taken away his Nintendo toy that he was playing with in class, and he followed her down the hall, chased her, threw her into the floor where she hit her head, and he beat her face 15 different punches before they ever got him stopped. He was arrested by the police. He said he didn't want to be manhandled. He began to curse that teacher's aide, and he told him, "When you let me out of jail, I'm coming back. I'm going to kill her." Folks, I want you to know there's a lot of things in life that's unfair treatment. And maybe you're here this morning, maybe you hadn't been thrown in the floor and beaten in the face because of something that you've done good. But I want you to know there's a lot of people this morning all over the world that feel like they grew up in the wrong home. They feel like they grew up in the wrong place. They felt belittled. They felt bullied. They felt not worthy. And I can assure you, with many of the marital issues in the world today, many of the psychological issues that people are experiencing today, anger that was created because of a situation or some unfair treatment, there's all kinds of things that we get caught up in, wrong place, wrong time. But I want you to know, keep on trusting Jesus. The handbells a while ago played so beautifully, one of my favorite of all hymns. I never hear that song that it touches my heart. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Let me tell you, trust Jesus when you're treated fairly. Trust Jesus when you're treated unfairly. Jesus will eventually vindicate the situation. Third and lastly this morning, another takeaway for us from the life of Joseph, his unwavering faith in Almighty God. You see, young people, it had been 2-3 years now and all when Joseph finally gets released from prison. And let me tell you, we don't always get immediate answers, do we? We look for them, we expect them, because we live in a push-button world that we live in. Microwaves, cell phone, air conditioner, Alexa, Siri. Hello, are y'all out there? My television went off the other night and I almost went into a fit. I punched the button and said, "Siri, get me back where I was." And, you know, it's amazing. I mean, immediately my television came back right to the spot I was watching. But you know, you and I live in a world that's a push-button world. Click the button, we're there. But let me tell you, that's not the way God works. God doesn't push buttons. Satan pushes buttons. His demonic spirits pushes buttons. But I want you to know, it's a great lesson for you and I that even though Joseph, he spent 3 years in a place that was unfair treatment to him. But he did not lose his faith in Almighty God. In chapter 41, in fact, of the book of Genesis, verses 39 to 41, it said, "Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you.' So Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt.'" Young people, after Pharaoh's wife falsely accused Joseph and her husband put Joseph in prison, 3 years later, Pharaoh takes Joseph out of prison, and because he sees his exemplary character, and I just have an idea that Pharaoh knew, that Potiphar knew his wife a whole lot better than probably we think he did. And I think that's why anger boiled within him when Joseph made the accusation. But Potiphar probably didn't have anything other to do than to save face and put Joseph in prison. But I want you to know, let me tell you, God elevated Joseph when he got out of prison. And Potiphar said, "I'm putting you in charge of not only my household, I'm putting you in charge over the entire land of Egypt." Let me tell you, God always rewards faith. And let me tell you, if you're going through hard times this morning, hang in there. God hadn't forgotten where you live. Keep your faith and trust strong in Him. The psalmist said in the 58th Psalm, verse 11, "Surely the righteous still are rewarded. Surely there is a God who judges the earth." 1 Peter 5, 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Notice that, in due time, God's plan was revealed. And later in Genesis 45, Joseph's now aware of why he had to suffer and that God really did have a plan. Because listen to what Joseph says to his brothers who had sold him into slavery, who hated him, who wanted to kill him. Notice what happens in three or four chapters later in the book of Genesis, chapter 45, verse 5. "And now Joseph said to his brothers who hated him, 'Do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you.'" Look at verse 7 and 8. He says, "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Verse 8, "So then it was not you." Notice what Joseph says to his brothers. "Boy, I don't know that I could have been as good as him, do you?" Now, don't look so pious out there. I doubt that you could have either. I doubt that very many of us could. But Joseph knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God had been with him. And Joseph says in verse 8, "It was not you who sent me here, but God. But God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." Let me tell you, how many times in our lives have we seen God do great things? Let me tell you, just about the time the ship seems to sink, God throws out the lifeline, doesn't He? Let me tell you, there's an old seafaring tradition that said, if the ship sinks, the captain must go down with the ship. Now, I don't know, that sounds like a pretty stupid tradition to me, but many Christians this morning are in danger of going down with the ship. Let me tell you, many Christians feel like their spiritual lives are sinking because of life's storms and life's trials. And let me tell you, so oftentimes people will say, "There's no use because I'm just no good," or, "That's just the way I am and there's nothing I can do about it," or, "I'm in trouble up to my ears, there's no relief in sight." And so that's the type of attitude that says, well, if the ship is going down, I might as well get on board with the ship. Let me tell you, there's discouragement out there. There's despair out there in the world. There's disbelief that threatens to sink the ship. But let me tell you, rather than to go down with the ship this morning, have you ever thought about getting in on the lifeboat? Let me tell you, Jesus is the lifeboat this morning. Jesus is your lifeboat. Wherever you are, and whatever's happening in your life, and whatever seems to be crowding out so many things, it grieves my heart when I hear about all the people that are committing suicide. Children, young people, military, older people. It is huge in the world. Let me tell you, many of them have given up on life. Many of them feel that the Titanic has sunk in their lives. And folks, I want you to know, as long as there's life in you, as long as there's breath in you, God has reason for your living. Most of us this morning would never be able to say, like Joseph, it wasn't you. It wasn't you. Even though you sold me to those Ishmaelites, even though you hated me, you were jealous of me, you wanted to kill me, it really wasn't you that put me where I am. God put me here. God put me here. God put me in this prison. Because God had a greater purpose for my life to be in charge of the whole nation of Israel when the famine came and there was no food to eat. And Joseph used his wisdom. He used his God-given abilities business-wise to conserve the grain so that for that seven-year period of famine, there was food for everyone, of which his siblings would have probably starved to death. Isn't it interesting that Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Even Joseph would say that to you and to me this morning. Joseph would say, keep on keeping on. Tie a knot. Hang on to Jesus and trust him when the storms and the winds begin to howl and blow in your life because he has reasons, he has purposes that he will eventually let us know and vindicate us from where we are in our life. May God bless you this morning. Whatever your trial is, whatever your problem is this morning, take it to Jesus. He's a friend that will walk with you through the storms of your life. Would you stand as we pray together this morning? And we've done our part. Holy Spirit, speak to someone's heart today. Father, whether they walk this aisle or make a decision in the pew, you and only you know. But if someone needs to come and give their heart and life to you, speak to their heart. Someone needs to come and join this church, speak to their heart. Someone just needs to pray there in the pew about trials and troubles and temptations and addictions and whatever is going on, Holy Spirit, let them see that spark of hope by knowing that you love them and you care. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.